For a while, I was thinking about maybe I'd like to talk about the healing part. Then I was more reading about this scripture, and I kind of moved it toward talking about faith. And today's Old Testament, there's this person, King Hezekiah. Fascinating character, if you may. This is probably one of the most fascinating and full of story king in the whole Old Testament. The other one who stands out probably is King David, who has, by the way, a whole book about it. King Hezekiah became king when he was about 25, and he was one of those righteous kings. And he had two experiences that was almost extraordinary. One was that the northern kingdom of Syria came and literally wiped out the north side of the Israel, the kingdom of Israel. And they were besieging the city, Jerusalem. And there's no way that the people in Judah could defeat it. Somehow, by the power of God, this army was defeated. I'm just skipping all the details. He experienced that. And later, he experienced another one that today's scripture reading kind of closely related to. In the beginning of this chapter 38, he became sick and was at the point of death. And the famous prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz, came to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die." That's what he heard from the prophet. "You shall not recover," he repeats. So in the Bible, when the messenger says twice, it means what? It's really real. So you're going to die. And that's what God says. He couldn't accept it. So he begged to God, saying, this is what he said, "Remember now, O Lord, I implore you, how I have walked before you in faithfulness with the whole heart. Have done what is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, saying, "Go and say to Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of your ancestor David, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. I'll add 15 years to your life. I will deliver you and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria and defend this city." So you're saying, he was not only having this whole nation in crisis, he was also having his health in crisis. Both of them were all healed, saved by hand of God. So, is it so hard to imagine that he became one of the righteous king and being faithful to God? In the Old Testament, the reason I'm bringing this to you is that in the Old Testament, whenever God tries to tell us, these people must believe in God, must have faith in God, the reason is, you know me. You have experienced my power. So you better know that I'm with you. And question is, why can't you believe me? That I am still with you. So when God was telling people of Israel the whole Old Testament about having faith in God, it was not about something that you read a book and you believe something. You randomly go to sanctuary or temple and the priest tell you some story and you believe it. It was not like that. It was more like you have almost this realistic, very experiential presence and power of God. And yet, they, a lot of times, chose not to believe. You wonder why? Maybe you can think about that for this moment. If this is our Bible study, I might ask question, where is it happening? And what's the name of the God kind of cited here first? This is happening in Capernaum, or Capernaum, which is in Galilee, which is also on this Sea of Galilee. That itself has a lot of meaning, according to Swedenborg. But today's focus probably is more about with the question, two questions, but actually kind of one. Do you believe God? And you know why? How do you know that? If your answer is yes, how do you know you believe God? If the answer is no, how do you know that's really true? Huge question, actually. And even make it more interesting, so who is your God? What does he or she do? How does he look like? Goes on and on, doesn't it? Well, now here's the real kick question. Have you seen him or her? Have you met your God? Have you met your God? The question to you now. How many of you met your God? One, two, three. Now, how do you know God really exists? Roman centurion, a Roman soldier, elite soldier, somehow believed in the power of Jesus more than his own people. Quite interesting, isn't it? So, reading this thing, or this story, over and over again, made this change of my mind by focus of today's talk, that I wanted to talk about the healing, and how healing is really happening, and how it's connected to the divine truth coming in, and working with divine good, the goodness that we acknowledge, love, there's a union, and realized that there's more, one more fundamental side. To happen anything to us, the essential question is, have you made any contact to your God? Have you even tried? The story about Hezekiah I like is that when he heard the message, until then, it was more likely Isaiah just coming to him and telling the message, and if he has a question to God, he asks Isaiah, then Isaiah go to God and brings the message again. This time, the prophet says that he'll die, and he couldn't accept it. So he decided to pray to God directly, and it worked. It worked. You know, do you see the significance here? When he really believed that God is really there, and my God has power to cure me and heal me, if God wills. So he prayed directly to God, and this time it worked. Where does that faith come from? Interesting, isn't it? Swedenborg defines faith as internal acknowledgement of truth. A hard expression. There's internal, there's acknowledgement, and there's truth. And what does that mean? How do you internally acknowledge the truth? Or, well, some people ask, what truth? There are so many different truths. How do you know it's really truth? And living in this age, we ask that question more often than probably 2,000 years ago. There's so many books, so many religions, so many messages. A lot of them seem to work fine. A lot of them don't seem to work fine. How do we know truth is the truth? That's why it is internal acknowledgement. Meaning that inwardly, in your heart, somehow something happened to you. A light came into your deep side of your soul and illuminates light there. And you cannot deny but to say that certain thing, this is true. You just can't deny it at this point. This truth could be different from one person to another. So we cannot say this is exactly the way it happens, therefore everybody has to have exactly the same experience. It doesn't happen that way. But we all have to have this something, a light. Light that is not from this sun, not this light. We all know that, right? Light from God somehow shines upon our minds, and we see that light. That's the important part. We see that light. At this point, we are aware of that light is in us, and it shines and illuminates certain part of yourself. And discover you may not like it. You know why? Because it shows you who you really are. The first thing this light does is that it shows you who you really are. It could be good news. It could be bad news. But the reason that the light is showing who you really are, that's where the real power is. And that's where you pray to God. That's where you can connect to God. We all know modern psychology that, you know, you ever heard about this multiple personality problem that people have? Like, I have talked to at least 5 of them. And they actually change certain personality. But at the same time, we normal people sometimes have something similar to that too, right? We have the church mind, that when we go to church, we have a different mind. When we go to work, we have work mind. When we go to family meeting, we have a family mind, don't we? We all have that too, actually. That, which one's really you? Hezekiah's prayer was powerful because he's not anymore king. He's not anymore the all-powerful king of Israel. He is at the brink of life and death. So he had to literally, take out all those pretenses. He doesn't need them anymore. The Almighty God told him that he'll die. So where he was praying was where he really, really is. And good news is we're all created in the image and likeness of God. So a lot of times, all those bad images, bad descriptions about ourselves is not exactly our own. And that's where Swedenborg comes in and kind of gives us another hopeful message, is that a lot of times, all those bad thoughts are from a place or state of being called hell. The evil spirit would love to give you all those dark images. They would love to convince you that you're dark. You're nothing but dark. Inviting you to their place. But that's where this light is much more powerful. Because when this light shines and illuminates your mind, what it really shows you to you is you are actually made to receive goodness from God, love from God. You're in the image of God's likeness and image. You are, in a way, a form of love. You are love. That love is from God. So it is all infinitely connected. And you don't really need to cry out to God in that. Why? God is already and always present there. Internal acknowledgement of truth. You get to know who you really, really are. The being who is created in the image and likeness of God, in whom the flow of God's power is constant, that there's inflow. The love and wisdom of God is constantly flowing into your soul and trying to make it outward. And your job is to acknowledge and to make it into your thoughts and actions and make it complete. When you can see this, how can you deny that God is all-powerful? And this centurion is saying, your word has a power. If you go to John, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And everything that is created is by means of this Word. The Word was the light. The Word was the life of the humanity. The Word came into this world, taking flesh, and took the name Jesus Christ. Centurion somehow believed power that was in Jesus. So, my last question to you. What do you believe? What do you believe? That's your homework. May God bless you all. And may God also illuminate your minds to see the truth from now on forevermore. Amen.